Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 294 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty of Iowa, we combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. All right, well, we're going to focus on a few different sports tonight. In a little while, I'll be talking with a standout wrestler from each of the Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial teams to preview Saturday's boys district tournaments. I will also be recapping last week's girls state wrestling tournament with one of the two individual state champions that Ankeny crowned en route to a runner-up finish overall. But right now, my first guest is a junior on the Ankeny boys swimming team, and he has helped the Hawks to a number 12 ranking in the state power rankings with 3,187 points. He has qualified for this weekend's state meet in four events. He is Briar Pearson. Briar, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
You bet. One of you guys just had your final practice before the state meet gets underway tomorrow afternoon in Iowa City. Are you fully tapered and ready to go?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, before we break down the state meet, I wanted to get some quick thoughts from you about last Saturday's district meet at Johnston. Your team placed second overall with 412 points. You finished 61 points behind Sioux City West. You know, what did you think of your team's performance overall, and were you surprised at all by how strong that Sioux City team was?
For our team, I think we all did really good. We had a lot of strong swims. We had Sam Howard qualify in the 100 fly. We had Wilson in the 200 and 500. And we had a freshman, Jack, qualify in the 2 a.m., which was awesome. And I think we all swam as hard as we could. So that's all you can ask for. And the Sioux City team, they swam better, but I think we're just as good.
Well, you had your team's only win of the day in the 100 fly. You posted a time of 51.26 seconds. That was the eighth fastest qualifying time for state. You know, you were really happy with that race, weren't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you also qualified for state in the 50 free. You placed seventh in that event in 22.47. You're going to be seated 27th in that event for state. And I know you told me last weekend that you have some work to do in that event. Now, I know how important the start is in the 50 free. So was that one of the issues for you last week?
Yeah, I was really nervous on the block. And I think I was kind of just, it got to my head. And I don't think I swam as well as I could have. So I'm ready for this weekend to do a lot better.
Well, you were also part of two relay teams that qualified for state. You swam on the third place 200 medley relay and the fourth place 400 free relay. You know, I'm sure you feel like both of those teams can drop quite a bit of time, don't you?
Oh, yeah, especially in our medley relay. I think we could all improve, and I think we can do some big drops and hopefully get podium on it.
Well, let's break down the state meet now. Like I mentioned earlier, you guys are ranked 12th going into the meet, and Ankeny has traditionally been a top 10 team in the past, and you guys placed 9th a year ago. You had 113 points. You know, that's obviously the goal for you guys, isn't it, to be in that top 10 again?
Yes.
Well, Valley is the defending champ, but the Tigers are currently ranked 3rd behind Waukee Northwest and Cedar Falls, and you've seen all those teams this season. You know, how do you see the team race shaping up? Do you see any of those teams possibly winning it?
Yeah, I think any of them could win. Iowa City West, Valley, Waukee, and Cedar Falls, all of those teams all have really good swimmers. They have good depth, and then they could all just go far.
Well, let's talk about your events now. You placed 11th in the fly last year in 51.96, so you've already swam faster than that this season. I mentioned earlier that you're seated 8th in that event. You know, I'm sure your goal is to get into the A final on Saturday and then just see what you can do from there, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping to make A final, and if I can, I want to break 50 in the 100 fly. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about your time. Two of the top three finishers from last year's meet, you know, are back again this year. The runner-up was Parker Macho of Linmar, and he swam 49.21 at districts. Dylan Ault of Waukee Northwest, who placed 3rd a year ago while swimming for Waukee. He had the fastest qualifying time of 49.03. And John Trosper of Waukee was another top qualifier at 49.06. So among those guys, I mean, who do you feel like is the guy to beat?
I think Parker Macho. I think he could easily go 47, 48 at this meet, and I think it's going to be a fun race.
Well, now that you are fully tapered, you know, how fast do you think you can go? You feel like that 50-second barrier is attainable?
Oh, yeah. I think the limit is the sky right now. I could go as fast as I need to.
Well, in the 50 free, you mentioned that you do have work to do there. You're clearly going to have to drop some time to get into that top 16. The 16th fastest qualifying time for state was 22.03. So I imagine you'll have to swim in the 21-second range in order to qualify, you know, for either one of the finals. Do you feel like you're capable of that?
Oh, yeah. I think if I clean up some stuff in my race, I easily can do it.
Well, Finn Martin of Newton is the defending champ in the 50 free. He won the event last year in 20.31, and he had the fastest qualifying time of 20.46. You know, he's going to be tough to beat, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I think he might be the first person in Iowa history to go 19 off a flat.
That'd be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, let's just touch briefly on your relays. You guys are seated 13th in the medley and 20th in the 400 free relay. You'll be joined in the medley by Finn Stuckerjurgen, Brock Peterson, and Austin Troyer. You know, and you have to feel like that is the relay where you guys have the chance to do the most damage, don't you?
Yeah.
And then in the 400 free relay, you are the only returning swimmer from last year's 18th place unit. You'll be joined in that one by Sam Howard, Noah Carney, and Jake Smith. And all three of those guys will be making their state meet debut. Since you're the most experienced swimmer in that group, you know, have you tried to be a leader for that group?
I hope so. I hope I showed them everything I can. It's going to be a lot of fun. This meet has a lot of just standout swimmers. The environment's awesome. There's really nothing better than this meet. Everyone wants to be there, and you want to be there too.
Well, I know we're supposed to get some more weather coming in tomorrow. The meet starts, I think, like at 5. What time are you guys heading over there tomorrow?
We're leaving at 11.
Allow plenty of time to get there, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, hey, good luck getting over there, and then good luck at the meet this weekend.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a senior on the Ankeny wrestling team, and he's been ranked for most of the season at 285 pounds in Class 3A. He is currently ranked 10th with an 18-10 record. He is Jack Dorfer. Jack, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I'm doing great.
Well, hey, before we preview Saturday's district tournament, I just wanted to recap the season to this point a little bit. You guys have certainly had some ups and downs, but overall, how do you feel like this season has gone?
I think the season has gone a lot better than we have expected. We lost a couple of the state qualifiers last year and a couple of state place winners, and we made a big jump from losing them to getting to where we are right now.
What would you say has been the highlight of the season for you personally?
I would say my highlight is my match against Johnson is definitely my highlight. I was going in there underestimated, and then I pulled off a comeback, and I secured my rank then. Mm-hmm. For yeah.
Well, I know Coach Wignall, you know, likes to put together a challenging schedule because he wants you guys to be prepared for the championship season. You know, do you feel like you and the rest of the team are in a good place right now heading into these last two tournaments?
Oh yeah, definitely. We are definitely ready for the district tournament and the state tournament right now. We definitely have been practicing a lot and getting better over the last week, and even since the beginning of the season, we have progressed tremendously since where we left off last year.
Well, every team has to deal with some injuries throughout the season, and there have been a lot of illnesses going around this winter as well. Are you guys healthy for the most part heading into Saturday?
Yeah, we are. Since we didn't wrestle against state duels, we had a little bit more time to recover for our bodies and get rid of that sickness now and to be all prepared for the district tournament.
All right. Well, you guys are headed to the Class 3A district tournament at Marshalltown, where Indianola and Norwalk will be among the teams in the field. Indianola, of course, was the runner-up to Southeast Polk in the Class 3A state duels last Saturday. And you guys have seen Indianola this year. You dropped a 29 decision to the Indians in the fifth place match at the Battle of Waterloo in December. So do you think Indianola will be the team to beat on Saturday?
I would say they're one of the teams to beat this Saturday, but I would say a big one would be doing that, and then also getting a Norwalk under, too.
Well, of course, the top three finishers in each bracket will qualify for next week's state tournament at Wells Fargo Arena. And, Jack, of course, you're seeking your second straight trip to state. You made it last year as a junior when you were eliminated after losing your first two matches. Now, if you can get back to state, do you feel like you learned some things last year that would help you this time around? You know, does it take a little while to get adjusted to that atmosphere down there?
Yeah, it definitely takes a little bit to get adjusted down there. I have a very strong feeling that I will make it a lot further than I did last year and be a good competitor down there.
Well, part of the reason I wanted to have you on the podcast to represent your team is that you have one of the tougher brackets on Saturday. There are three other ranked wrestlers at 285, including number two, Colton Borcherding Johnson of Norwalk. And I know you've wrestled him a couple of times this season. You dropped an 8-0 major decision to him in the finals of the Bob Sharp invite on January 18th. And then on February 4th at the regional duels, you closed the gap on him when you lost by a 10-4 decision. You know, so what makes him so tough? And are you looking forward to maybe getting another shot at him on Saturday?
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting another shot. What makes him kind of tough is that he's just pretty quick on his feet, and he gets into a good position, but doesn't stay there for very long, and moves his feet very well.
Well, the good news is that you maybe don't have to beat him in order to qualify for state, but you may have to beat one of the other two ranked kids. Anthony Keyes of Cedar Rapids Kennedy is ranked 9th, and Xander Overton of Indianola is ranked 11th, and you're very familiar with both of those guys as well. I believe you've won two or three matches against Overton this season, and you've split a pair against Keyes. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, based on the current rankings and the results of those earlier matches, it looks like maybe you'd be the 3 seed then behind Keyes and ahead of Overton. Is that kind of what you expect to have happen?
Yeah, I was expecting to be either 3rd or 4th coming in.
Either way, you're going to have to win the matches, right?
Yep, I will.
Well, if that's the case, then you know, then you could be looking at a matchup against Keyes in the semifinals. You pinned him in the 5th place match at the Mendenhall Invite on January 11th at Ames, but then you lost to him 9-4 at the Iowa City High Duels 2 weeks later. You know, what do you remember about those matches, and what would be the keys to beating Keyes? No pun intended there.
I would say the keys are to get more movement, like getting my feet moving and just trying to get work to my setups and get to my shots, and then just taking care of business on top.
When you could obviously see Overton as well at some point. You pinned him in 2 minutes at the Battle of Waterloo. You lost to him by fall in the semis at the Mendenhall Invite, and then you posted a 9-2 decision over him in the semis at the Bob Sharp Invite. You know, so would you be confident that you could beat him again since you did win 2 of the 3 earlier matches?
Yeah, I'm confident I can beat him. I'm very confident that I just need to wrestle a smart match and be more involved in my feet and don't do anything as stupid.
Sure. Well, last year your team qualified 9 wrestlers for state out of the Norwalk district. You know, do you feel like you guys, if you have a good day, could possibly surpass that total this Saturday?
Oh yeah, I definitely think that we could surpass it. Our whole team has a chance to qualify, I would say, this year. Our team is really something else than what we had last year.
Well, Jack, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about your future plans. I know you've taken some visits for football, but I guess I haven't heard, you know, if you've made any decisions yet. So do you know where you're going yet?
No, not yet. I got an offer for Central College and Monmouth College, and I'm waiting to get my decision back from all them.
Sure. All right, Jack, well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it, and good luck on Saturday.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my next guest was a senior on the Ankeny girls wrestling team, and she helped the squad to a runner-up finish in the Class 2A state tournament last week at Coralville. She became the first individual state champion from Ankeny and from North Polk as well when she captured the crown at 125 pounds. She finished the season with a 44-5 record and won more than 100 matches in her high school career. She is Elise Ingebretson. Elise, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on winning a state title. You've had 6 days now to let it all sink in. How's it feel to be a state champion?
No, it's pretty cool. Definitely a surreal experience as soon as it happens. But
I'll bet. Well, of course, you had previously qualified for state as both a sophomore and a junior, but you were unable to become a place winner in either one of those seasons. You know, heading into this tournament as the number 6 seed in your bracket, you know, I'm sure your goal was to at least earn a spot on the podium, you know, to close out your high school career. Did you even think much about winning a state title? Did you feel like that was a goal that was reachable?
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the season, when we write down all of our goals, I wrote down place winner as my goal because the last 2 years, right, I've fallen short from that goal. And then coming in the tournament, I definitely had that mindset was different. It was, I can win a title. And that, yeah, I mean, it was there.
Well, I was there for the first day of the tournament last Thursday. You opened up with a pretty tough match against Chloe Adamson of Linmar, but you were able to hold on for a 6-3 decision. Then in the quarterfinals, you pretty much dominated the number 3 seed, Destiny Brown of Ridgeview, as you posted a 14-4 major decision. That win assured you of at least a top 6 finish, so you had to feel good about that. Now, going into Friday's semifinals, you were the lowest remaining seed of the 4 wrestlers, so did you kind of feel like you had nothing to lose at that point?
I mean, yeah, that locked in 6th is always good to have in the back of your mind, but also with the seeding, though, like with Destiny Brown in my quarterfinal, I was going to the into that match confident that I was gonna win because of how a previous match went earlier in the season. So like the and you asked what was I thinking being the lowest seed? I guess that doesn't matter. Like,
well, no, Coach Roland always says that those seedings don't matter, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in the semifinals, then you faced the number two seed, Camille Schult of Waverly Shell Rock, who was the defending champion at 120 pounds. Now, had you ever wrestled her before?
Camille Schult, is that what you said?
Yeah.
So I wrestled her at the Donnybrook tournament earlier in the season, and that match was basically even. Like, we didn't, nothing happened first period, and then it was 1-0, she escaped, I was losing, and then she got me on my back when I was escaping in the last period and ended it. But it probably would have been 1-1, and then overtime, I don't know how it ends. But, yeah, so, yes, I had wrestled her and knew it was going to be a challenge.
Well, yeah, you found yourself trailing 4-1 going into the third period, but you then got a couple of takedowns to take the lead, and then you held on for an 8-7 decision. Do you think maybe you kind of wore her down in the final period?
Yeah, I mean, I guess one of the things that I do is the hand fight never stops. So I think even in my championship match, not stopping the hand fight and continuing trying to get to your attack no matter where you're at in the match. I mean, at some point, if you're winning, you kind of have to give a little bit. But, yeah, finding your attack no matter when, what score. Yeah.
Well, while you were winning your match, the top seed in your bracket, Emerson Gregg of Council Bluffs Lewis Central, was being pinned by Anna O'Rear of West Delaware in the other semifinal. So that set up an unlikely matchup of a 5 and 6 seeds in the championship match, and that was the only one in Class 2A that did not feature at least one of the top three seeds. So what was your reaction when you saw or heard that Gregg had gotten beaten? You know, did you feel like that kind of opened the door for you?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. With the seeding, I mean, Emerson Gregg is really tough, and I think she absolutely deserved that one seed. So, in the tournament, you always get those throws in the last period where probably the more dominant wrestler loses. The confidence is definitely there after Emerson lost.
Now, had you ever wrestled O'Rear before?
No, I hadn't. No, her name was new to me when she showed up in the rankings earlier, probably first ones I came out with in January. So, yeah, never wrestled her.
Well, in that championship match, after a scoreless first period, O'Rear started the second period on top. And according to my reporter, Stephen's story, I guess she chose to go on top. Is that right?
She did choose top, yep.
Did that surprise you that she did that?
It did, actually. I mean, I don't know. Me and my coaches didn't talk, but I was probably picking neutral anyway because she's so long. She was probably 5 inches taller than me. And, I mean, that's such a disadvantage. And she is dominant on top. So, yeah, I was surprised. But as soon as that happened, I was like, well, you have to get out. So, yeah.
Well, once you got that escape to take the lead, you know, did you kind of feel like you had the upper hand then? What was going through your mind?
Yeah, I definitely think I had I was thinking, well, you're already ahead. Get a takedown. Secure the takedown, get that four-point lead, and then no matter what happens in the third period, I choose, right? I choose bottom, and I get out again. That's a 5-point lead. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you didn't have to worry about going to the third period because you eventually got the takedown, and then you pinned her in 3 minutes, 46 seconds to win the title. And considering that you hadn't pinned any of your first three opponents, I mean, you probably didn't expect to get one in the finals, did you?
No, it had crossed my mind. I mean, you always think, like, how you end any match. But, and one of the things that we had practiced for the last 2 weeks of the season was takedown directly into a half Nelson. And that is what it was a double leg into a kind of almost basically into a half. So, yeah, I mean, that move I had been thinking about, but I didn't think it was going to happen.
Well, of course, you were one of four finalists for Ankeny. Your match followed the one by Nora Bacchus at 110, which obviously did not go her way. And your team still had two more championship matches to wrestle at 140 and 155. So were you able to celebrate your victory a little bit right away, or did you kind of have to tone things down? Because obviously your coaches, you know, still had to focus on those matches and the two wrestlers as well.
There's so much time between 25 and 40. And I mean, oh yeah, and then Trudy was before me anyway, so yeah, I was able to celebrate, go talk to my parents, and then I was done with like the media stuff and everything, and then it was like, oh yeah, then I'm going to watch Hayden and Haley. So yeah, it was very well timed for me to celebrate.
Well, I think a lot of people expected Ankeny to win a couple of titles because Hayden Bratlin and Haley McGrew were both number one seeds. Of course, Hayden did win a title at 140 with a 10-0 major decision over Shaylee Sutherland of Spencer. She's only a sophomore and she finished with a 42-1 record. You know, she's just a beast. She's probably going to win a couple more titles, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, she's been wrestling for so long, and you look at those kind of wrestlers and you're like, that talent is incredible, and the technique so there, and yeah
she's just so advanced.
I think she's really advanced and shows in the room with her and Haley.
Well, I know Haley had a tough loss in the finals to Amelia Jumessi of Waverly Shell Rock, and that was her first loss of the year in 34 matches, you know, but she still had a great career. Did you learn a lot from, you know, being her teammate over the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, absolutely. Haley's definitely one of those, like, she gets to work. She knows what she's good at. She's dedicated to the sport. She does so much off season. She was going to club all off season and through the season too. So yeah.
Well, as a team, you guys finished second behind Raccoon River Northwest, and that's by far the highest finish in school history. Coach Rowland talked about how far you had come as a wrestler since your sophomore season, and obviously the entire program has grown as well. I'm sure you feel like you're leaving the program in a much better place, you know, than where it was when you started, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at, like, the 40th win or 40th place at state to the second place, and that's a major jump, but it also goes down to the whole team bond is completely different, as we all kind of can now push each other to get better, whereas first year it was kind of like, we don't know who's good and we don't know who can be good yet. So
well, of course, the entire sport of girls wrestling is obviously growing too. Since you are a North Polk student, do you think North Polk will have its own program at some point?
I think soon. I don't know. We have a decent number of eighth graders, and our eighth grade team actually split. So my first year, my sophomore year, was the first year was sanctioned, and North Polk Middle School was with Ankeny. This last year and 2 years ago, North Polk had their own eighth grade team. So
oh, okay.
I think soon, and with Bondurant,
right,
I think they'll probably switch, separate too soon. So,
all right. Well, at least before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about your future plans. You're sitting here with a USF sweatshirt on. You have committed to wrestle at Sioux Falls. Did you look at a lot of schools, and what did you like about their program?
I looked at a couple. I mean, the main things I looked for was solid coaches. I mean, you always want to have a connection to coaches, and then obviously the school, so I'm able to study what I want, and it's a Christian environment, and it's not super close to home, but 4 hours away, so yeah.
How long has their program been around? Because I know the sport itself is pretty new at the college level, right?
Yeah, so the cool thing about USF is they actually started their girls and boys program at the same year, about, I think it was 2 years ago. Their program was new for both, so.
Well, you got a chance to make some new memories there, don't you?
Absolutely.
Well, Elise, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it. Congratulations again on winning
the
state title. Thank you. Yep. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a junior on the Ankeny Centennial Wrestling Team, and he's a two-time fourth-place finisher in the Class 3A state tournament. He is currently ranked second at 120 pounds with a 36-2 record. He is Kale Vandermark. Kale, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we preview Saturday's district tournament, I just wanted to recap the season at this point a little bit. You guys have had your ups and downs, but overall, how do you feel like the season has gone?
I feel like we've fought, like, pretty hard as a team, but we could probably fight a little harder over some of those leaps, but I think we'll do better going to this tournament.
What would you say has been the highlight of the season for you personally?
Definitely that Fort Dodge tournament, finally beating Pierce. That was a big win for me.
Well, we're definitely going to talk about that here in a little bit. I know Coach Groth likes to put together a challenging schedule because he wants you guys to be prepared for the championship season. You know, do you feel like you and the rest of the team are in a good place heading into these last two tournaments?
Yeah, I feel like with Max's big win at the Ed Winger, I feel like we're in a good place going to the state tournament.
Well, I know every team has had to deal with some injuries, you know, throughout the season, and there have also been a lot of these illnesses going around this winter. Are you guys healthy for the most part heading into Saturday?
Yeah, for the most part, we got the best lineup we can be going into this season.
Well, your team is headed to the Class 3A District Tournament at Fort Dodge, and I understand that all the teams will be going up there tomorrow to get ahead of another storm that is approaching. You know, because of those change in plans, will you have to adjust your preparation at all? You know, do you have any trouble sleeping in a different bed?
Nope, all same to me, just same mindset, all ready to go.
Well, your district field includes the host Dodgers and a lot of teams from Western Iowa. There's the three Sioux City schools, Lamar's, Spencer, and Council Bluffs Lewis Central. Now, your team did wrestle Lewis Central twice this season, and you saw Fort Dodge at the Don Miller invite on December 21st. But other than that, you really haven't seen those other teams much at all, have you?
Nope, not at all.
Well, your team lost to Lewis Central 38-32 at the Osage Duels on January 18th, but then you avenged the loss with a huge comeback at the Regional Duels on February 4th. Your team got a fall from heavyweight Brooke Keller in the final match to beat the Titans 34-33. So do you feel like this is going to be a two-team battle between you guys and Lewis Central for the team crown on Saturday?
Yeah, pretty much.
I think Fort Dodge might be the only other team that could be a factor, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, the top three finishers, of course, in each bracket will qualify for next week's state tournament at Wells Fargo Arena. And, of course, you're seeking your third straight trip to state. Last year, your team won the district title at Cedar Rapids Prairie, and you guys advanced 11 wrestlers to state. I'm sure Coach Groth would love to get 11 wrestlers to state again, but considering that you guys don't have a 106-pounder this season and you're kind of inexperienced at a couple of weights, it might be kind of hard to match that total this time around, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we would match that pretty close, though, still. We're a better individual team for sure. We could at least get, like, 9-10 kids up in there.
Yeah, that'd be a great number, I think. Well, Kale, you were actually a district runner-up last year. You lost in the finals to Alexander Pierce of Iowa City West, and then you lost to him again in the semifinals of the state tournament. But like you mentioned earlier this season, you did post a 4-1 decision over Pierce, and that gave you your third consecutive title at the Miller Invite, and you were named the tournament's most outstanding wrestler. So you must like wrestling up in Fort Dodge. You know, is there something about their gym that you like up there?
Yeah, it's like the atmosphere, like how they set up that mat. I just love wrestling there. Feels good.
Well, Pierce is currently ranked third, I believe, and right behind him is Weston Porter of Lewis Central, who is a guy that you will likely see on Saturday. Porter was a state runner-up at 106 a year ago, but you have already defeated him twice this year. You posted a 13-4 major decision over him at the Osage Duels, and then you beat him again 10-4 at the Regional Duels. I know I talked to you after those Regional Duels, and you weren't really happy with that match because you told me you were looking to kind of increase the gap between the two of you. Do you feel like you're prepared to do just that, though, on Saturday?
Yeah, for sure. I've been working pretty hard, wanting to score more points in those matches.
Well, I don't believe there are any other ranked kids in your bracket on Saturday, so is there anybody else in your bracket that you're kind of looking at that might be able to challenge you?
Nope, not at all. I also heard that Porter might go 13, so I mean, I might just fly through districts anyway.
Oh, really? Oh, well, I know Coach Groth doesn't want to take anything for granted, you know, but I think it's a pretty safe assumption that guys like you and Max and Isaac Brule and Ethan Sodergren, you know, are going to qualify for state. So let's just briefly talk about the state tournament and what could transpire there, assuming that you make it. Of course, the number one guy at your weight is Jake Knight of Bettendorf, who's handed you both of your losses this season by the same 4-1 score. He beat you in the finals of the Mendenhall Invite on January 11th at Ames, and then he won the rematch two weeks later in the finals of the Ed Winger Invite at Urbandale. You know, he's just a tough guy to take down, isn't he?
Yeah, he just gets that one takedown, just rides out the points the rest of the time.
Is he like the strongest guy that you've faced this season?
Nah, for sure, just really funky. I just got to get to my attacks more often.
Well, of course, both Pierce and Knight have won state titles in their careers, and that's obviously your ultimate goal. You know, there's a good chance that you may have to beat both of them to reach the top of the podium. You know, so you're definitely going to have to earn it, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to really push through that semifinal after, I think, 2 years in a row, Pierce beat me there, so that's going to be a big one for sure.
Now, both of those guys have made their college choices. Knight is committed to Oklahoma, and Pierce is headed to Virginia. Have you looked at many schools yet?
Nope, not really. I'm just going to go to this next summer, then see my options from there.
All right, Kale. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it, and good luck on Saturday.
All right, thank you.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. With Legacy Realty of Iowa, you'll work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75-plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge in today's competitive market. At Legacy Realty of Iowa, it's not just about a transaction, it's about building your legacy. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny swimmer Briar Pearson, we had Ankeny girls wrestler Elise Ingebretson, and then we had a couple of standout wrestlers from the boys teams who will be competing in the district tournament on Saturday. We had Jack Dorfler from Ankeny and Kale Vandermark from Ankeny Centennial. I appreciate the time from all those folks. We covered a lot of ground tonight. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. We are planning to record on Monday night with both of the boys wrestling head coaches to preview next week's state tournament.